Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Today We Learn.
A podcast of knowledge.
Hey, that's what it's called. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Razzle.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you as well. In the flesh.
In the flesh.
And not in the cyber.
Hey, you know what? We see each other a lot.
Yeah, we cyber a lot.
We cyber a lot, guys. ASL.
Yeah. Oh, you never go ASL to mouth. That's what I've been told. All the way back to those days of AOL free internet discs.
Hey, man.
Were you like me and you tried to hoard a bunch of those discs? You're like, oh, I'll get a year of free internet just by getting all these discs.
I think
that's
how it
works. Realize, oh, you have to. Just, it's for first-time subscribers.
Ah, it's kind of like
yeah,
the Uber
and I didn't even get to the credit card thing.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh.
Kind of like the Uber codes everybody gives you. And
yeah,
like,
right?
Guess what, guys?
Guess what?
I've been using
The only people who aren't using Uber are hermits. Like, J.D. Salinger is the one who's not using Uber anymore.
And crabs.
Crabs are not allowed to because they can't buy smartphones.
Or
their claws can't tap the buttons.
Or sand people because they walk single file.
They prefer to be called Tusken Raiders.
I don't know.
That's a bit outdated.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Bro.
Quite literally.
Depends on what part of town you live
hey,
in.
Hey, man.
I'm a moisture farmer.
In 2016?
I'm a moisture farmer.
Look, I know they murdered your Aunt Beru, but that doesn't give you the right.
You know what? Maybe when they stop walking single file, I will call them Raiders.
Maybe when they start blowing up my land speeders.
Hey, you know what, guys? I get it.
Yeah.
You want to walk single file.
Anyway. Razzle's a spacist, but
it's
that's
more,
neither here nor there.
It's way more efficient to not walk single file, because if you walk single file to hide their numbers, you have to walk in other people's footsteps. And who wants to do that? You got to keep your
eyes on people that love that one thing about Jesus where it's like, I looked back and saw two sets of footprints.
And one set is when he was carrying me.
And the other set is when I was a Tusken Raider.
This is a great episode. Dan, you weren't here.
No, I was so excited.
That's why it was great.
I couldn't control my excitement. I had to leave.
Dan left.
I was like, I can't deal with this, so I just straight up left the studio.
Deal with it. This guest, as you'll find out, knows one of our earlier guests. I'm not going to spoil
no
it for
spoilers.
You. No spoilers. No spoilers alerts, Ben Glebe. Did I spoil it
you
just now?
Monster.
I just spoiled it.
You failed the idiot
here's
test.
The deal. As soon as we end this and say the number, it's going to cut into her talking about how she knows Ben anyways. But she's great. She's on a new show. It's on the second season now. It's CBS's Code Black. It airs Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great episode.
Yeah.
And we should get into this.
Yeah, because I want to listen. I'm tired of listening to you. I want to listen to you talk to her.
Listen, you know what? Maybe I'm going to delete all my secret headquarters
from
my phone.
All your audio.
I'm going to delete all the secret headquarters that I have saved on
my
phone.
I'm going to mute every time you talk in this episode and only listen to our guest.
Hey, that would be a much better show.
It just sounds like the ramblings of a crazy woman.
That would be, if somebody invented an app that did that, this podcast would skyrocket. If they,
just guest talking to
just
avoid.
Guests talking to not me.
yes.
That's great. So let's get to it, Dan.
Yes.
Ready?
Today we learn number 154 with Melanie Chandra.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
We like to start off each episode with the guest providing a fun fact about themselves or something you learned recently.
Could be
a Snapple fact. It could be, you know, something you read on the news. It could be anything. There's absolutely no rules. It's literally anything you learned or something about yourself. And then from there, we'll just kind of bullshit and chit-chat. And I got some things about you I want to talk about, and we'll just whatever. It's a tangential conversation. I don't know if you're a fan of podcasts or if you listen to them
et cetera. I'm friends with Ben Glebe, and he was your very
first... He was my very first
podcast.
Yeah, he was.
He told me to say hi.
Yeah, I've been trying to get him back
on. 3 years ago, right?
Cool. Long time ago. Super dated. Like, we talk about Man of Steel, the movie, I think, like for a good 20 minutes.
Talk about like Mountain Dew.
Yeah. And I used to have a long beard, and there's a reference to that in there. Ben's great. I love Ben. I've been trying to have him back on. I'm going to text him.
Why don't we message him right now?
I'm going to message him right now. Should we say the same thing?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
Ben Glebe here. What should we say?
Okay. Do you have like an inside joke with him?
I don't. I'm trying to think because I just went to his birthday. He just had his birthday party not too long ago either.
By the way, this is what he sent me.
Well, I think so.
Because I said, this is what I'm doing. Me telling him I'm on your podcast. So
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hold on. So okay. He wants you to do his show.
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to put, quit trying to poach my guests. Quit trying to poach my podcast guests. That's so funny.
I just sent him something. I said, Razzle doesn't have a beard anymore.
That's funny. That's good. That works. Okay. That's great. I love it.
Okay.
This is awesome. I think, are we rolling? This is great. Perfect. I love it.
Okay.
This is how great podcasts are, because he hits record and we never know. Let me figure out. I always forget. Red is right. So if you see a little red dot, that means you're right here.
Yeah,
so
flip them around.
Rock and roll. This is great. A lot of half of that will be very entertaining to the guests who don't know what we're looking at or what we're doing. Let me see here. Here we go. Right on. So that was a little fun thing. Our guest here is good friends with our first guest from actually this is. So this will be almost. I think this will be like 154 or something like that. 156 episodes. So that's almost like exact 3 year mark. I think because like 352 would be 156, right? Something like that.
Something like that.
Almost 3 years. We should look into having. I'm going to try and have. Thanks for reminding me. This would be a fun thing to do.
Well, Ben should come back.
He should come back. Absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. We should both go on his podcast because I think he's a little bitter that I'm not doing his. So.
Come on, guy. He's got a show on Game Show Network. He can't be bitter. Hey, you know what? It's Idiot Test, I think is the name of it.
Yeah.
I know the show name. I just don't, you know. So many networks out there.
So many.
Your show is on a network. Your show is one of the major networks.
It's on a big network.
Let me introduce you here, then we'll talk about your show here. You've heard her. You've seen her on Parenthood, Writer's Block, HBO's The Brink. She's currently one of the leads in the CBS show Code Black, airing on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Now, Melanie Chandra is the guest. Please give her a round of applause real quick while I'm thinking about it before I forget. Is Luis Guzman in the show?
Yes.
This is the billboard that was around town last year where it's like half blurry.
Yeah. Right? I mean, his face was full very in the front blurry. And everybody else was kind of in the background.
Right.
Yeah, it was a weird billboard. Marsha Gay Harden, all of us were fighting for that space in the background. Yeah.
Yeah, his was the very blurry photo, I remember.
Yeah, he was the most intense.
Yeah,
I think a lot of us were like scared, not sure what we're doing, but he's like, I got this.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad I know the show.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Second season's airing now, actually, or starting on the 28th. It started on the 28th?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Started. So it started last week, because this will come out after the 28th.
Right.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
I hear it did really well.
Great.
Open to 40 share. I don't know what that means, but I've heard it mentioned.
Yeah,
I think 40 share.
Audiences really seem to resonate. You know,
that's amazing.
the show's a little different this year. We got Rob Lowe.
Oh, I love Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Favorite Rob Lowe moment? Mine's is just Wayne's World because that's the first time I really was introduced to Rob Lowe. So I'm gonna have to say Wayne's World one.
Okay.
Yeah. Melanie, thank you so much for doing the show.
Sure.
We like to start off the podcast with the guests providing a fun fact about themselves or something you learned recently. No rules. Anything that comes to mind.
Well, you know, I was almost late today because I was on Wikipedia looking at synesthesia.
Get out of town. That's what it's called. Holy shit.
You don't...
Listen, we've talked about that on the podcast before.
You have.
Yes. But I want to hear it from you because I forget it a little bit. But let's talk about this. But I was talking to somebody... It may have been my friend Jamie or something the other day about
when you experience a sense.
Yes. And
it triggers another sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So like musicians and stuff, like you'll hear colors or et cetera.
Yeah.
Like that, right.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yes.
I couldn't remember what it's called. And I'm like, it was some weird, like I was making up words. And I'm like, it's something. I think it's like this, but that's what it is.
That's what it is. And so I never knew I had a condition known as that.
Okay.
But, so I played the piano when I was younger.
Okay.
And when I played chords, I'd always see colors, but I thought that was normal.
Yeah.
And then recently, about a week ago, I was directing an edit of a short film.
Okay.
And I'm really particular about music. I've also danced in a formal lifetime. And so I've played the piano, I've danced, and then I'm trying to score some visuals, and I'm arguing with my editor. Like, so stubborn. This can't go here. Like, this music, this piece, this tone can't go here. It can't go here because it's blue. It's blue. And I kept yelling out colors. And they're like, what's going on? I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is orange. This is blue. It doesn't match with the visual right now. And no one understood. And then I had to look it up. And then I was like, okay, I got to figure this out before I come to this podcast because I'm just belligerent right now.
No, that's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm jealous. I don't see colors unless I'm severely tired or blacked out.
Yeah.
I don't black out. Uh-huh. But that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really great. That's how like some of the most talented people, like Beethoven and Jimi Hendrix. I was going to say Kanye, but I don't want to make it. He's a huge fan of the show, and I don't want to give him a bigger head than
Hi,
he's already
Kanye.
Got.
Yeah.
Hey, Kanye, come
big,
on the show.
Big fan of your work.
Yeah. Big fan of your $1,000 white t-shirts you sell on your pop-up stores. But like very talented like artists. It's a common thing amongst the entertainment industry.
Yeah. I guess so. I didn't really know about it.
Well, your director and editor obviously doesn't know about it.
Yeah. It's really bad.
He doesn't like. He must be a huge fan of the color blue. What if that? Maybe that's it. Maybe he just is pretending he doesn't
Loves
know what
the
you're
color
talking
blue.
About.
Yeah, he just thinks I'm crazy.
So walk me through this because I don't have this.
Okay.
So it's only when you play music.
So it's when I hear music or play it.
And you see, it just gives you like a feeling.
So like when I play A minor, it's like a dark red.
Okay.
When I play an E, it's a bright orange.
Okay.
Or G is green. Or what else? B flat is like this off purple, like purplish blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I was quicker, I'd pull up some like things on the internet for tones, but I believe you.
Yeah.
So you used to play, when you played piano.
Yeah.
Did you... This is what's interesting because I've read different theories about some of these people who had these or things like that. Would you write or play according to the sound, or would you play to what you see? Do you know what I mean? Like instead of playing and creating or making music because you like how it sounds, were you one of the types who would play because you like what you see? Kind of like when you're doing this short, you're like, I don't like this blue here. This isn't blue.
I think when you're applying it to a visual medium like a film, then it's very clear and you're composing to the visual, to the color. But when I was just playing the keys, it would just literally, I get this sense of a color. So I would be composing to the music.
Okay.
But then it would create this sort of portrait.
Yeah. So in this short, you didn't want blue. What color did you want? What color fit?
Well, he wanted the blue to come at a time when it shouldn't have come.
Okay.
When it should have been red.
Okay.
And he just didn't get it. You don't get it either, right?
I mean, I get it because it correlates to the auditory senses, right?
Yeah.
It's another feeling, just like sounds. Like it may not sound right, but you see it as it doesn't look right.
Right. And the same thing, like when you hear music, it has energy, right?
Yes.
It has movement.
Yeah.
So sometimes it has color.
Yeah.
And then when you see visual, all of that should go together into one cohesive package.
Yeah.
And if something's off, I'll catch that.
Okay. Really cool.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. You're like a superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my superpower.
Yeah,
I had a superpower.
Yeah, you have superpowers.
What would be my superhero name? Melesthesia?
That would work.
That's terrible.
Melesthesia sounds like a drug.
It does.
Sounds like, give her 40 cc's of melesthesia and call me in the morning.
Okay, that's good. You're like on Code Black now.
Yeah, I think I could be. I could work in a overpacked hospital under, what was the, I'm trying to think of what it said on Wikipedia. Takes place in an overpacked, an overpopulated, underfunded hospital. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
something like that. Like
when it's like oversaturated.
Something like that. Let me see here because I read that.
Let's hear your description.
According to Wikipedia, takes place in an overcrowded and understaffed emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah. So it's
Melesthesia.
Melesthesia.
It's the Disney version of Code Black. it says here you were Park Ridge. It says two things on your Wikipedia page.
Okay.
It says you were born in Park Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also says you were born in Buffalo Grove.
I was born in Park Ridge, meaning the hospital.
Got it.
And I spent like 2 years in Park Ridge growing up. And then I spent the rest of my time in Buffalo Grove. Not too far away from each other.
Yeah. Now, where is that with Schaumburg? Because I used to live in Chicago for a bit.
Oh, nice.
And there's the Chicago Improv is at that little mall in Schaumburg.
Woodfield?
Okay.
Shopping mall?
Yes.
In Schaumburg?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the mall. I was only
it's like
there for
the
9
big
months.
Mall.
I'm I'm going to the Improv at this mall.
It's like the thing to do
if
you're in Schaumburg.
And where is that in correlation with Buffalo Grove?
It's like 20 minutes away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like when you're in high school and you have nothing to do, you go to
You'd go to the mall.
And Woodfield Shopping Center.
Go to the Woodfield Shopping Center.
The Woodfield, yep.
Mm-hmm. Gonna go see some colors and listen to some tunes.
Melesthesia. Melesthesia's playing tonight.
Hey, you wanna catch the 7 o'clock of Melesthesia? What's that about? This girl, she sees colors. Now I'm Keanu Reeves. Like, did you go to school with Keanu Reeves? Because I want to be Keanu. Let's we'll cast Keanu Reeves as me in the film. Park Ridge, here we go, is it's a lies on a ridge, and apparently, according to Wikipedia, for those that don't know about Park Ridge, it was a brick making center. Like, it was heavily, it helped Chicago develop because it was like a major brick and mortar.
I think that's
what it's called. But it made a lot of bricks mm-hmm. back in the day, mm-hmm. long time ago, mm-hmm. which helped flourish, you know, the Chicago area.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not do my research on where I was born.
Well, that's what Wikipedia says. Wikipedia also could have been changed by somebody.
It could have.
I don't know. I want to talk about this.
Okay.
Because I was just in Japan for 3 weeks.
You were?
Yeah.
Doing what?
I was doing karate.
No. Oh, okay.
I was going to buy. I was looking on eBay today for a black belt just so I could be like, yeah, I got a black belt. Nobody needs to know anything. You could just buy. I could buy a belt, and as far as anybody would know,
you have
we're
one.
Equal.
Yeah. You can actually say you have a black belt.
Exactly.
Right.
And nobody would know any of the difference. True. And then on my Wikipedia page, I could say, hey, guess what? I'm also a second degree black belt.
You can't say that you are, but you can say you have one. That's
okay.
That's different, right?
Hey, guess what?
Right?
I have a second degree black belt.
See, now I believe you.
And people would be like, oh, you're out of town.
Totally.
Tell me about this. You have a second degree. This is like a serious thing, right? You know karate.
Yeah, I do.
You know black belt, like, you know second degree black belt. You couldn't go for that third, but you had to do it. You got that second degree black belt.
Yeah, I started when I was 9. Actually, I wanted to start when I was 6 years old.
Okay.
Because my brother was doing it, and I would watch him, and I begged my parents to let me do it, but I couldn't. I was too young and scared, maybe. But then I got into it at 9, and I just loved it and started competing and came out of my shell. And by the time I was 14, I had my black belt. Had a black belt. I was a black belt.
You were a black belt.
I was,
You didn't just buy a black belt.
I didn't buy one off.
Yeah. I don't think they had eBay back then.
They didn't have Amazon either. Amazon Prime for black belts.
Love that. Same day shipping if you're in LA.
And then, it took me 2 more years to get my second degree black belt because it usually takes a long time to do that. And then I went away to college and decided to keep training and start doing other martial art forms like Taekwondo. But karate was a huge part of my life for over 12 years. And I competed on the junior national team for a few years. We went to the Pan American Games in Brazil and Mexico, and they had it in the U.S. 1 year. And I don't know. What else do you want to know?
It's interesting because I don't know anything about it, but you're a 2-time bronze medalist from the Pan American Games, right? Mm-hmm. And you went to 3 of them. Which one did you lose?
Mexico.
You lost to Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn.
Who'd you lose? So how close did you come?
And that one, I lost by a point.
Get out of town.
And, you know, also, I was 1 point away from representing the U.S. in the World Championships.
Get out of here.
This was like 2 months before I was going to college. And I was on the, I was fighting in the women's advanced division. And the winner at that national level goes to the World Championships and represents the U.S. And I missed by 1 point.
Now, how many points are there? Because, like, in hockey, you could lose by 1 point, and it's only a 2-point
Well, it was like a half a point. So it was 3 points, but half a point. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's still...
It was close.
A block or whatever. Like, if I remember Karate Kid. Because
that's what we do.
One of the places... So, real quick, too, because I didn't know this, and I wish I would have known this when I was in Japan.
Uh-huh.
I knew Karate Kid 2 takes place in Okinawa, but they filmed it in Hawaii, and that was a disappointment. Really wanted to go find out where they filmed Karate Kid 2. But, apparently, I was researching karate when I found out you were doing the show. And karate, you are a black belt in Shotokan karate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Shotokan is a style of karate developed from various forms of martial arts by Gichin Funakoshi, I believe, something like that. That's the guy's name, the dude's name who invented it or whatever. But he was born in Okinawa, and apparently all of, like, every karate, like, he created, like, the karate.
Mm-hmm.
This guy created karate, and he created it in Okinawa, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Didn't know that.
I didn't know that. But apparently, this is the dude. He was born in 1868, so it's actually not as old as I anticipated, but he created normal karate.
Do you know what Shotokan means? Does it say it on its Wikipedia
I'm gonna look
page?
It up. Do you know what it means?
Yeah.
Tell me. Because I don't know.
Empty hands.
Empty hands.
Yeah. So we don't use weapons.
You don't use any weapons, like size. You don't use size.
Like, no nunchucks, like no size. No, no
ninja
bows.
Turtles. So that's ninjas. Ninjas use weapons.
I know. It's a little bit of a disappointment because people think I can.
Shotokan means closed hand. Means open hand.
Empty hands.
Okay.
Yeah. So just use your hands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you never make a fist?
No. We do. I get where you're going.
Because
yeah.
That's closed, right?
Meaning empty. Like I'm not holding a weapon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Why? Let me ask you this. So you're at 14. You became
mm-hmm.
a black belt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you weren't second degree till you were 16.
Mm-hmm.
What? And you said it takes longer to become a second degree.
Yeah.
Walk me through that. Like, because I took Taekwondo for 8 months. I have a yellow stripe. I have a white belt yellow stripe. So I know a little bit.
You know a little bit.
But I don't know that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think each school does it a little different,
yeah.
But for us, every exam, you guys had to do exams, right?
Yes.
That's how you earn your stripes.
I did one exam.
One exam, right? So there's.
I passed it. I got my yellow stripe.
Congratulations.
You.
Do you still have that?
I'm going to take, I do.
Okay.
I'm going to take that yellow stripe off and put it on my black belt.
Awesome. You'll be the first black belt with the yellow stripe.
Exactly.
That's great.
I'm all about breaking new ground here.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So we do exams twice a year. So
okay.
Every 6 months you can take a belt exam. And you can go straight to from white belt to orange belt, or you get stripes. And so there's four stripes to get to the next belt. So you got one.
Yeah. Hey.
So that's not that great.
That's better than a half a point.
It's better than a... It's progress.
Yeah.
It's progress.
It's progress.
It's progress. Well, Taekwondo probably does it different. Maybe that was like halfway there.
It's
way better.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
So
yeah.
For between a first degree black belt and a second degree black belt, you have to take four tests. So at minimum, it takes 2 years to get.
Okay. Now, do you get a stripe every time? You said four stripes. They had four.
You know, the stripe system goes away once you reach black belt.
Got it.
Yeah.
So you just how do you mark if you pass each test though?
On the belt, I don't actually.
Or
remember.
Do they not mark it at all?
I don't know if they. I can't remember if they do it. I know we get some stitching on it, but I don't remember if that was...
Because that's what I thought, like, the part of, like, the reason they had, like, those markings was so you could identify which level or which tests you've passed.
Sure. I mean, they do that for all the other belts, but...
Just not the black
stripes belt. Don't look good on black belts.
They don't.
You know? They just don't.
They don't.
So yellow stripe would probably be okay.
Yeah,
You can test that out.
I'll test that out. I'm just going to keep it in my car so people, like, don't mess
Amazon
with it.
Prime. Amazon that black Prime. Belt's on the way.
Hey, listen, the people delivering it are going to think I've accomplished lots. They're going to be like, oh, this guy bought a black belt. Co-founder, let's talk about this. Hospital for Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this. You're the co-founder of Hospital for Hope, which is a nonprofit. It's a charity for providing healthcare services in rural India.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this, because this is really interesting to me.
Sure.
I don't know anything about India. I got a fact here about India. But you could probably confirm or deny. But India is the seventh largest country by area. Are you familiar with geometry? I don't know what area means. I was hoping you could tell me. But it's big.
It's huge.
Yeah. Do you go there a lot?
I've been about 12 times in my life. So
okay.
that's pretty frequent.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you go when you're a kid to see family, relatives, all of that. But recently I've gone back to travel and then for the nonprofit stuff as well. So Hospital for Hope, I started with a couple of my college friends because during one of our summers as undergrads, we went to volunteer in India, one of these NGOs that was doing great work for this very poor region. And we spent our summer there and that was all great, but we wanted to do something more. And that area is so inspiring because the people are incredible, but the conditions they live in is just horrible. And so one of their biggest challenges was healthcare. The nearest hospital to this region was half a day's trip away by Jeep. And if it's monsoon, it'll take you 2 days to get there. And
yeah.
That hospital is overcrowded and mismanaged. So we decided...
Kind of like the hospital in Code Black.
Kind of like Code Black.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Huh.
They would be lucky if they get in the hospital at Code Black, actually, to L.A. County.
I bet. Okay,
Angels
continue.
Yeah. Okay, and so, you know, five of us who graduated said we can put our heads together and our resources together and we can figure this out. We're Stanford grads. We can
now
figure it out.
Now, this is before you got into acting?
This was before I transitioned into acting, yeah.
Okay.
I had just graduated. I was working in corporate America. And this is when I decided to co-found this nonprofit.
Okay.
And so there was just five of us still paying off our student loan debt. But we said, you know what, let's raise $100,000. let's get a development team of volunteers together and let's break ground in this hospital in 2 years. And so we did that. And now it's functioning. It's serving a region that encompasses over 100,000 villagers. And we're serving anywhere between like 1 and 3,000 patients a month.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So you set a date and you did it.
Yeah.
Five of you.
Five of us.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it was very very grassroots.
Yeah.
We like do little fundraisers like in different cities. And then we partnered with some larger nonprofits that kind of helped us out as well. And yeah, one thing just led to another and that's it.
Now, did you like people in India, were they involved in this or it was just five of you Stanford grads and you like, all right, now we have a briefcase full of cash. Let's go dig some holes.
Yeah, not the latter. We partnered with an NGO there. It was the same NGO that hosted us when we were students.
Okay.
So we went
What's an NGO?
NGO is a non-governmental organization. It's a nonprofit.
Okay.
Essentially. And so we partnered with them and they helped us find the land and helped us find some local volunteers. And then we sent our project managers over there to work on the construction and build a team.
Now, of that, so you raised $100,000
mm-hmm.
and then you found a place where you want to build a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming the hospital didn't just cost $100,000 unless it's way cheaper to build buildings over there. What was that $100,000? Like what? Did that help you get more money or how does that go through? Because, I mean, it's medical stuff like that. Like I have a lot of cousins and family in the medical industry. I don't know anything about it, but it fascinates me, especially when people get together and they're like, hey, you know what? Let's go build something mm-hmm. so far away. And it happens within 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's very fascinating because, like, I mean, you can't even get movies made within 2 years. What that initial $100,000, what did that go to?
Land, material, supplies, and staffing.
Okay.
We partnered with this amazing organization called Construction for Change, and their primary mission is to partner with different schools and hospitals to just build them, like actually create, give them architects and project managers. And so we partnered with them. They helped us raise some money. They found our architects. And so everyone working on it was all volunteer-driven.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Even people that flew out there to do it. It was all, like, mission-driven.
Wow.
So it's basically the land and actual materials and initial supplies. I mean, now it's we have somewhat of a sustainable model where, depending on one's income, they have a prorated sort of fee. I mean, it's still very, very cheap and affordable. And if you can't pay, you can't pay. But you don't deny anyone because it's for these people. We're not looking to make money. We just want it to sustain itself. And we still bring in, you know, we still do fundraising from afar to keep, you know, building out more supplies and like buying them an ambulance, which a new ambulance. This is something that we just did.
Now, and that's been going on for how long? When did you cut the ribbon? When was like the ribbon?
About 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it's, you have fully staffed and that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Have you thought about building a second hospital?
We've talked about that. We're not quite sure. I mean, we just want to make sure that this is great.
Flawlessly functioning.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is where we have the closest ties. We can pick another random region, but this one we have a lot of vested interest in.
And it's still the five of you on like, are like the main board or?
Yeah. People have come and go, but the core team has been five people.
Okay. So you did this out of college.
Mm-hmm.
So you, grew up in Illinois.
Yes.
You got into karate.
Yeah.
Got arrested for murdering somebody.
Uh-huh.
And then you went to college.
Mm-hmm.
You graduated.
Mm-hmm.
Decided
to build a hospital, but I also decided to get a corporate job before I started acting.
And what was this corporate job?
I was a management consultant for a firm called McKinsey & Company.
Okay. And what kind of company was that?
It's a management consulting firm. They just help companies figure out their problems. Okay. Yeah. So I was an analyst out of undergrad and you get to do cool projects, work with big companies, like pretend you know a lot of things when you don't really, and travel. And it was cool. I was living that young professional lifestyle in New York, but it wasn't for me.
It wasn't for you.
Yeah.
What didn't you like about it? At what point were you like, this is what I went to school for. This is what I'm doing. I'm living in New York now.
Mm-hmm.
New York is awesome. It's super cold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this anymore. Hey, look, there's a girl walking down a runway wearing a scarf. I can do that. At what point did you decide you could do that? Or you wanted to try and do that?
Well, I'd go see all these little indie film festivals in New York. Like when I was working, I would still like take acting class. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Something I'd always wanted to do. And so when I was in my cubicle, I'd be, you know, finishing up an Excel spreadsheet or like tweaking a PowerPoint presentation. And then secretly I'd be like, okay, what movie's playing? What film festival is going on? I'm going to go to these things. And it just, it was this, I don't know, something my gut just told me, like, that's what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
I would spend every waking hour outside of work researching the film industry, the TV industry, figuring out what can I do to, you know, hone the craft as an actress. And so I just signed up for all these classes, loved it, found some writing partners, started writing, performing things, and I was still working full time. And then I just went
still consulting,
and then I just went crazy because I was just living two different lives. And then one day I just quit.
You just quit.
I just said, no, I can't do this anymore.
Now, was this because you also were a model, or you still are a model?
You won
Miss India America in 2007, right? Mm-hmm. Was this after you quit, or was this kind of like while you were still trying to like quit?
It was right after while I was finishing up college.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
Got it.
And so it was kind of like.
So you dabbled.
It was kind of, I was like a little step in the water. Okay. Just like getting, yeah.
Okay. So you dabbled as a model first.
And then I went back to work.
Then you went back to work.
Yeah.
And then you decided.
And then
I
dabbled again. Yeah. And went back to work, and then I went for it.
Okay. Yeah. And this was all in New York.
This was all in New York.
So then you quit, and then you got into acting in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the chain of events to get you out to Los Angeles? Are you a Los Angeles, or are you out here just doing press? Which is which?
I'm just out here filming the show.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So you're still primarily New York.
Still in New York. Yeah. Okay. I recently got – well, it's been a year. I got married a year ago, and so we're settled into New York. Okay. And then, of course, once you get married, you book a show in a different state.
Different city. Yeah.
So that's why I'm here.
How long are you out here filming?
Well, it depends how many episodes we ultimately do this season. It could go through February. It could go through March.
Okay. How many did you do the first season?
We did 18.
18.
And so we're hoping to do 22, but obviously you have to see how ratings go. I mean, the first episode did really well.
Yeah, did huge numbers.
Did really, really
huge
well.
Huge numbers.
Yeah. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I love LA, but my heart's in New York.
Heart's in New York.
Heart is in New York.
It's so cold over there.
Yeah, but the summers, the fall, the spring's nice. The winter's tough. It's a little scary, though. I was actually just there today. I just flew back.
Oh, wow. How was the flight?
It was fine. Although I was trying to watch TV, America's Next Top Model, as you all do on a plane.
Love that show.
There's like a marathon plane, right? And you know how on the side arms, they have the little controls? This woman
Are you at a window seat or which seat are
I
you
was
in?
I was in the window seat. Window so the woman the in the seat. Middle, her right arm was on my console, and she just kept changing the channel with her elbow, and I was just trying to be like really nice about it. And
did you tell her to stop?
No, I just
should have put your thing up.
Just
lift
too
it
nice.
Up. So
well, she
that.
Specifically asked if she could put it down.
Oh,
so
listen,
it wasn't that big a deal. I was doing
Who
other.
Sat down first.
I did.
There you go.
Yeah,
there's rules to flying.
I didn't know.
These are my rules to flying. First off, I always get a window seat because I like my window seat, and I tend to fall asleep fast if I'm
too.
On a window seat, and then it's like you're teleporting, you wake up there. But if I'm not, you have the choice of whoever gets there first gets the armrests, is my opinion, first off.
I didn't know that.
Regardless of, I mean, if you're in the middle, look, I've gotten in the middle before, and that sucks. Middle seat sucks. I
hate middle seats.
Get there first if you want the armrest.
Yeah.
Because once you commandeer the armrests, nobody else can take them. They're not going to like... Nobody's going to like nudge and fight for your armrest. So if you got there first, you have the option to lift it up. And then you lift it up. And then that way you can lift it up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sometimes the armrests can be awkward and annoying as it is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she put it down and I didn't mind, but whatever.
Well, you minded when she changed the channels.
I did.
And then
so
I would sneak
my fingers in.
You're
and gonna, just kinda,
learn how to, you got to learn how to control the TV like this.
If there's anything I learned today, it's that. I'm going to take them out.
Just be like, look, I was here first.
Yep.
I just did a podcast, and then I was told, if I got here first, I can say no.
Absolutely.
No to the armrest.
Yeah.
Hashtag no armrest.
Hashtag no to the armrest. Melesthesia.
So you've been back and forth for a while.
But let me tell you, this week was crazy. I was there the last few days, and... City is it's a little on edge right now because there was that bombing in Chelsea the other week, and you know it's fine, they caught the guy, but just this in the last 24 hours, including my block, which is a safe block in Soho, they've been closed off police for suspicious packaging. Like they just had to do all these checkpoints.
Oh wow.
So there's one in Midtown, there's one in Olita, and then yesterday literally like I don't know, 6, 7 p.m., like my whole block was shut down. I couldn't get to my apartment until they were done with their investigation, and it was clear, and that was fine. But it makes you think, wow, this could actually happen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Midtown one, it was just a pressure cooker. Some guy wasn't able to make his rice, you know? It wasn't... They found a pressure cooker that wasn't... It was just a pressure cooker. They thought it was...
This is the one that happened. It was like Sunday or Saturday night, last couple weeks ago, if we're trying to be correct here with when this podcast airs. But it was literally like in right now, today, like you and me talking.
Right.
It was like last Saturday or something like that, right? There was one where it... Was that the pressure cooker or what was the...
No, this happened.
There was an actual bomb.
And that was a bomb in Chelsea, and that I think was... I can't remember the day, but it was like a week ago.
Okay.
And then current real time yesterday in Midtown, everything was closed
down. Because
of a suspicious package.
Got it.
Under the bridge.
So I didn't hear about the pressure cooker, but did the pressure cooker like it... Actually, there was like an explosion or...
No, it was just a false alarm.
Got it.
But they shut down everything. Like traffic was backed up for hours, and then they found it and they said it was clear.
Now, were you in town when the bomb went off in Chelsea?
No, my husband was, and so that was scary. But he wasn't. He was fine.
Because somebody was telling me they also found like another bomb in like New Jersey or something. Is that a real thing or?
There's. I can't remember if it was a bomb or just like
another suspicious package.
Suspicious package.
Tell you what, that's almost scarier than like random stuff like that. Is almost scarier than like. I'm not saying it's not scarier. You know, obviously all acts of terror are, you know, like planes and all that are freaky. But when it's just a completely like random thing in different locations that like I have tons of friends in New York, and it's like just to think like even suspicious packaging now where they're just shutting off random blocks. It's like,
But I used to live in the exact block where that bomb went off in Chelsea.
Really?
I used to, that was my first apartment in New York.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And that's by the meatpacking industry, right? Or like it's
Chelsea. It's a little bit further north and east.
Okay.
I take it you're not from.
I'm not
New
from
York.
There. I've been there a few times, so I try to pretend.
That's okay.
I pretend a lot because there's that. What's the really beautiful the Skyway or whatever that's called? That
Highline.
Highline.
Yeah.
Highline is amazing.
It's nice, right?
And that goes to like the meatpacking, right?
It does go.
Comes down from the meatpacking.
It starts at the meatpacking and goes north.
Goes north.
Yeah.
Okay. That is really pretty.
Yeah.
That was there. I was there. My friend Joel was filming a show there, and I went and visited him a couple times, and we went around New York.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Really fun. It used to be a train, I believe, like train tracks, I think.
And I think so.
They changed it to be like, if you don't know what it is, the High Line, I'll let you explain it because it's really awesome.
It's just this beautiful walkway with lots of cafes, shops, and views of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a really pleasant walk, and you get to experience a lot of New York in that sense.
It's great. The view's great. Also, Ben just texted me.
Oh.
He's like, ha. All he said was ha. Did he respond to you at all?
He didn't respond to me, but it shows that he read it.
Oh, there he goes.
Wait. He says, I know. It's the worst. You can tell him I said that. Should we text him?
Yeah, we're for the audience. Let's get into this because this is kind of where I wanted to go from how you get to here or whatever. So from New York, I guess since we're talking about Ben Glebe right now, very funny comic. He's got a show on the Game Show Network. You're friends with Ben, mm-hmm. who is our first guest.
Yeah.
How from New York to here, like how, from sitting here right now, how do you know Ben Glebe?
So 2 years ago in LA. I was just out one night with some friends, and we had some mutual friends, and we started talking. And it so happened I was trying to cast someone in a comedy sketch.
Okay.
And we're looking for a white guy that could play a douchebag who hits on two Indian chicks.
Yeah, Ben.
And I'm like,
perfect.
Dude, you're the one. And then he came and did it, and it was like the best thing ever.
He's funny. He's great. He's quick. He's done funny story about him is he likes to have a good time. As my brother likes to have a good time. And my brother was out here visiting one time. And I do comedy as well. I do stand-up as well. And I used to throw comedy shows in my backyard, in my garage. And we'd have free comedy shows for everybody. And he did one of them. And he did a few of them. He's done all the shows I've produced. But I think he only did one or two at my house. But my brother was there one time. And my brother is from Michigan. And they were both, you know, drinking. And I feel like it could be longer than what I thought. But I feel like my brother and him were talking about, like, politics or something. Bananas, something weird for like 2 hours or something like that. I don't know. Funny story about Ben Glebe.
We should all hang out.
We should. I like it. He's like, he just responded. He's like, in all caps locks, I miss that fucking beard with like 9 exclamation points. Here we go. Okay. And okay, yes, please share with the world that Melanie is one of the greatest people and one of my all-time favorite people on earth. Just the loveliest soul.
Aww.
And this is, I quote from Ben Glebe, and that you are razzle, oh, just a solid human being. I was expecting it to be a bigger compliment.
Oh.
I want to be more than a solid human being. Like, you're one of the greatest people and favorite people on earth. I'm just a solid human being. That's my subtitle on my Wikipedia. Razzle, solid human being. So how you've known this was, what was this? Did you end up like finishing this short?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago.
Okay.
And he crushed it. He improv most of it, and it was fantastic.
That's great. So you're in acting, and you do directing and writing as well?
Yeah, I'm starting to write.
Okay. What was this short? Why were you casting the short? Were you in this short, or what was...
Yeah, it was just me and a girlfriend who's also a comedian, and we just had an idea for a sketch we wanted to tape and shoot, and she's like, I'll produce it. I'll get some people together. You find a guy.
Yeah.
We just found a guy.
Okay.
That was it. Simple.
What is your... So you're doing Cold Black now. Perfect world? Like, what do you want to get a show in New York? Do you like bi-coastaling, or what's your what do you like? Do you mean like what's your when you started acting? Did you set out? Did you want to? Were you more like you wanted to do movies, or you wanted to do shows,
I think when you start out, I mean, TV was way different back then.
Yeah.
So you kind of have this dream of like, I want to be in movies. I want to be these big epic movies. But now TV is epic in its own right, and everybody, including myself, you just want to be on a meaningful series.
Yeah.
That get to play these complex characters, work with amazing talent, and tell meaningful stories. And I think you can do that more on TV now than you can on film. At least like, these blockbuster movies aren't. There's just different. It's different.
What was your favorite movie this summer? Do you see a lot of movies?
What came out this summer? I'll let you know.
That's the thing, right?
I saw Born.
You saw okay.
Born.
Did you see
Solid?
The new X-Men movie.
No, I did not.
What about I'm trying to think what's come out this summer.
What has come out this summer?
Born.
I think that was the only movie I saw.
There was X-Men, there was Batman vs. Superman, it was April or May.
Didn't see that one.
Suicide Squad.
I didn't see that. But we can probably talk about 10 TV shows that we've seen in the last like 2 months, right?
Stranger Things. Right?
Yeah. The Night Of.
I didn't watch The Night Of.
Oh.
Is that everybody talks about The Night Of?
It's great.
What about The Night Manager?
Oh, not yet. It's on our list. I haven't watched that yet. I'm trying
either.
To finish The Americans, like get caught up to The Americans.
Everybody talks about that too.
Season 3. Yeah. So that's great.
Mr. Robot. Are you all caught up?
I'm all caught up.
I'm not caught up. That's the problem. It's like there's all these great shows, but I'm also like I have the addictive personality and I'm a very curious person. And I love the idea of binging shows. I also love the idea of talking about shows like Game of Thrones, I'm going to watch it every week.
Yeah.
But Mr. Robot was one of those shows where I binged it the first season, and it was like, oh, this is great. But now it's almost like I'm so far behind, I got to wait till it's all done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How many episodes are there? I should watch it because my buddy was telling me, like, one of the episodes starts off, it's got, like, Elf and all this other, like, 80s stuff in there. Robot's a good show.
I think Stranger Things was... I loved Master of None, though. That was good.
That was Aziz's show.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
What about Love? Love was good. I didn't see Love. That was on Netflix, too. That was... it was all right. It was good.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I don't watch that show.
It's so fun.
I watched the first two episodes of it, and I'm like, oh, this is funny.
Yeah,
and
but
I'm
not like, okay. into it.
Yeah. Netflix is really hitting them out of the park. They got a new movie out. Are you into, like, time travel type of stuff?
Yeah.
There's a new Robbie Amell's got a movie on Netflix called ARQ or ARQ.
Is it out or is it in production?
On Netflix right now.
Oh, I gotta watch it.
ARQ. It's like six people in it, and it's like a time loop. It's like a time loop movie. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, you asked me a question. I'm trying to backtrack here.
What did I ask?
TV shows, movies.
What? I'm trying to think.
What? Acting, what do I want to do?
What do you prefer? Have you done movies yet?
I've just done indie movies that didn't go anywhere. So.
Okay.
TV is great because it's a consistent job. It's week to week and you have a longer character arc.
Yes.
I love working on Code Black. It's great. Material is fantastic. It's a stretch. It's a stretch because when else are, everything's life or death. Like, everything is high stakes. And as an actor, you don't often get pushed in those directions. Yeah. So that's great. What would be my dream? I mean, I would love to have, you know, in a couple of years, have my own show in New York.
Yeah.
Create, write, act. Yeah.
Did you have to learn any, or did you go like hang out in hospitals? I guess you already, you built a hospital. Did that, do you think that had, do you think that had an effect on you getting cast, or did you have to, when you're going out for this or whatever, did mm-hmm. you, before you started filming, did mm-hmm. you like hang out more in hospitals or stuff like that? Or what kind of training did
yeah,
you?
Yeah. I mean, actually they did medical boot camp for the entire cast okay. for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we worked with nurses and med techs and doctors and learned like all the basic procedures that first year residents would know. And then we went to shadow doctors in the ER,
okay.
which was amazing.
And this was out crazy. Here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Cause the story is inspired by LA County Hospital.
Okay.
Which is a real hospital. So it's inspired okay. by how LA County used to be like 10 years ago when it was just crazy and old school technology and, dirty.
Yeah.
Overpopulated, oversaturated. Now where, it's like modern and clean. But
this, where in LA is this hospital at?
Our the fictional,
LA, or it's inspired this original one actually. This the, where's your fictional one located?
Well, at downtown LA.
Downtown LA.
Yeah. So
LA County Hospital is what it's based on, right? LA mm-hmm. County Hospital. That's the name of the hospital.
Mm-hmm. I forget the streets, but it's like, yeah. it's...
I pull up LA County Hospital, and it's just a bunch of Los Angeles hospitals. But this is yeah. an interesting... Well, it's based on a documentary, though, right?
Mm-hmm. The show by Ryan McGarry. So yeah. he's... Fascinating story. He was this runner...
So it's the LA County USC Medical Center. Is that the... That's,
yes.
I'm assuming the right... Okay.
Yes.
That's interesting. Okay.
So Ryan McGarry, he did his schooling there. He was... a runner. He was also interested in filmmaking.
Also Chicago born.
And he just was inspired to create a documentary about the chaos happening at this hospital.
Yeah.
And then people really liked it. And, you know, someone approached him and he approached them. And, like, it was just, let's make a series out of it.
Yeah.
And they create a series about
and
it.
And what's your character? What's your arc? Like, what's your role? What kind of are you a nurse? Are you a doctor? What's your role in this show?
So first season, I was a first year resident. Now I'm a second year, and so there were four of us. It's our first time practicing emergency medicine as doctors, and my persona is kind of like the very smart, eager, like ready to prove herself sort of character,
okay.
like book smart. Probably knows more than any other resident, but she has to work on her ability to not think about the rules all the time and just break procedures when it's proper. Like if someone's, if you're going to heart attack now, I can't just go do all these tests. I have to figure out in the moment, be spontaneous and fix you yeah. right now. And so that was kind of her story. She's also a lesbian. And so in the first season, you had this whole arc where her ex-girlfriend, who was a former resident, comes back to the hospital with leukemia and is pregnant. And then there's this whole dramatic... Yeah,
so she's not a lesbian.
Well, no, she is.
Her ex-girlfriend's not.
Yeah, sure.
Well. She comes in pregnant. Okay.
Yeah.
And is she still alive in the second season?
No.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Well, I mean...
No. So you obviously... So she died on this episode.
She... Yeah, in the first season.
No.
She passed away. It was
what happened
really
to the kid?
Really sad. It's up to people's imagination.
Oh, okay.
It was one of those.
Yeah, you were not going to say we killed a small child on TV, on CBS.
We did not.
No, you didn't.
No.
No, it's up to your... It's like Inception. It's like, is it... Oof. Maybe it's just spinning on a table somewhere.
Yeah, in a different universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you see Inception?
I did. I loved
What'd
it.
What'd you think? Is the top spin? I'm going to start asking people that at the end of the show because I don't know.
I'm not recalling the top spin.
The end at Inception, right? Where Leo, it's like the totem or whatever, and like he his girl and the dad, John Voight or whoever is the dad,
uh-huh.
who's Michael Caine.
Uh
huh. And he goes like his he goes to see his kids.
Uh huh.
And then his kids are running. It's like that dream he's been having.
Yeah.
And then he spins the top. And then he goes to play with his kids, and like if the top fell down.
Oh,
it was real life, but if the top kept spinning,
right.
it was still all a dream.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hmm.
I'm going to have to watch that again.
Yeah.
But I like that. Is this Inception where everything, and this is what happens in your dreams, right? Yeah. Where everything you see, every person is a projection of a part of you.
Okay, I didn't know this. That's interesting. Tell me more.
So basically, if you see your mom's yelling at you in a dream, that's your the maternal part of you that's telling you that something's wrong.
Makes sense.
With, like, you know, your best friend who makes you laugh. Yeah. The Joker part of you is telling you, like, okay, you need to take it easy. Like, maybe something serious is happening in life and you're handling it the wrong way. So Inception, too, a lot of these characters in those deeper levels are projections of the central character.
Yes. Like, I would think, right? I think so, because the whole point of Inception is, like, to make them, to plant the seed, the idea in their brain that it was all their own thing anyways. So it would be like you're going into this dream, this person's brain, but you're actually acting like somebody of them, which is why I think even in the movie, they're like, if they catch wind that you're not supposed to be there, like when something goes on, all their things of them are noticing that they're not part of them. And then that's when like a lot of the worlds fall down and crumble and stuff like that.
Such a cool movie.
Really good movie. What do you think Deja Vu is? Some people say Deja Vu is about like it's dreams. That's you dreaming things of the future or vice versa.
I don't have an opinion. I haven't decided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. Well, I was hoping you – I was wanting to get to the bottom of the
Deja
Vu.
Yeah, no, okay, wait. So some people think that like you've experienced it in the past.
I've been waiting 150 episodes to get to the bottom of Deja Vu.
What do you think it is?
I don't know, because it's an interesting – I have a lot of it, but
– I have a lot of it too.
But somebody – I also was reading a months ago or whatever, now that I'm thinking about it. That's one thing like I love doing this show because like when it's a tangential conversation, in which is most conversations are when you have fun, you know, good conversations, you think of things that you've read that you otherwise wouldn't have remembered. And I just remembered that some scientists think deja vu is your brain processing information so fast at that point that it seems like a memory. So, like, when you're experiencing something, your vision, your brain and all that is, it like, synapses fired too fast or something at that point to where you're, it almost seems like a memory, even though you're just
having... if it happens to you a lot, does it mean you're really smart? I mean, your brain is so quick on many occasions that you can't even process it consciously?
That's a good question. Maybe.
I don't know.
It's an interesting thing. Because it's also like, you know, like synesthesia. It's like, what causes that in your brain? Because a lot of people don't have it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I just figured this out like a few hours ago. So that's my homework tonight.
Now, did you mention this to anybody when you were growing up that you can see this?
Mm-mm.
No? You just kept it like you just assumed it was
normal? The only person I mentioned this to in the last week was my husband.
Okay.
I was like, I think I have something.
Yeah. I think I've...
I have to tell you something you don't know
about
me.
Here's...
Sit down. Right now. I think I have a single synesthesia.
And what did he say?
He's like, that's really cool.
That's it?
he's like, I get that now.
Yeah.
He's like,
what does he do?
He's an investor. He's in finance.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's really smart with things.
He is really smart. Yeah. Super smart.
So he just took this and was like, yeah, go be creative and play with your colors, honey.
No, isn't that?
Yeah.
It was almost like he was like, it was weird. It wasn't a sense of pride, but maybe he was impressed.
Yeah.
Like he thought that was really cool and he didn't, is, you know, you know someone for like 10 years and you learn something new. It's interesting.
Yes. It's cool to do that, I think. I think it's really cool. Like having friends, especially, you know, as you know, or new friends, old friends, and then you build these relationships. And then when you find out things about them from a long time ago or whatever, there's something refreshing or something fun when you find cool things out. I mean, hopefully it's not bad things, but like, you know, dead bodies or anything like that. But it's fun to learn. Like one thing I'll do a lot is like, I'll be like, oh, what are 10 things you like or whatever. And I like one of the things like when I respond is like I like to learn things about people. I like to sit down with – I like people to tell – I like good stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason like I love doing like podcasts and doing these shows is because I like get to meet cool people like yourself and hear cool stories or interesting stories. And learning things about people is just an interesting thing because everybody's – you know, like even if we're going to talk about our brain or our dreams, you know, things being, you know – proponents or whatever or ancillary, you know, divisions of your inner self. It's kind of like that with learning things about you know, different people, like learning, you know, you looking at you, people might not think you know karate, you know, but you could, you know, take him down with your open hands in four moves probably. Do you still practice or anything like that?
I try to keep in shape with it.
Yeah.
But obviously not as much as I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like things like that, it's like, oh, that's, you know, that's fun to know people. It's because everybody likes things. Like your husband likes finance and investing and all that. You like acting and modeling or, you know, whatever. And that's just from the on the surface. Like people say, oh, this is what they do. This is what they are. But when you take away that and you really get into like the brain or what you like and what your interests are, that's so cool to talk about things that actually interest people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you have a black belt.
I do.
It's like so cool.
Right?
Like I wouldn't think looking at you
that
like,
I have a black
that
belt.
You have a black belt.
Yeah.
But you do.
I do what I can to hide it.
Yeah.
I hide my interests.
But
I have a black belt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also have a degree in psychology.
Do you?
Yeah. My name's not on it, but I have one.
What else do you have?
I'm going to start doing that just so I can say I have this. And when people don't, I'm going to start doing that. I got to remember this. I do a lot of things, then I'll forget. But that'd be funny to do is just buy things.
Just put to it have. On the wall here.
Yeah,
so, like, when people come and do these interviews.
I have a medical degree.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just studying. Oh, it's not my medical degree.
Yeah, you don't have to put your name on it. You just have it.
I just have a medical
degree. It's on the wall. You have it.
I didn't say it's my medical degree. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's interest. Like I don't know. Like, what interests you aside from acting or helping people? What other – is there anything about you – looking at you or not reading your Wikipedia that you like, that there's things you like?
Well, I like dancing.
Okay.
So I did...
What kind of dancing?
Bollywood.
Get out of town.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was in college, I started doing it. And then in New York, I joined a troupe.
Okay.
Like a professional.
Really?
Bollywood dance troupe. And so we performed a lot. We performed at Alvin Ailey. One of my best friends started the company. She's my roommate. And it's like one of the premier Indian dance troupes in the nation now.
Now, what kind of – is it Bollywood dancing?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I think of Bollywood, I think of like these almost parodies of American movies done over there. What is Bollywood dancing? What's the difference between Bollywood dancing and a normal dance group like Stomp or the Rockettes or
I mean,
tap
even
dancing.
When you think of normal dancing, like what is normal
what
dancing?
What is normal?
Like the Rockettes
dancing's
is not
a banana
normal
thing.
Dancing.
No dancing is normal dancing. I mean, dancing's a peculiar, like I love dancing. That's one of my favorite things. I love dancing I like 80s music.
Yeah.
I like dancing. Just being silly and moving my feet. But what is Bollywood dancing?
Think about, it's, you know, there's a spin on traditional Indian dance that's more, it tells a story in a more mainstream way. So it's
okay.
A lot of facial expressions, a lot of hip movements. It's a lot of intricate hand work. And it's fun. It can be very beautiful and slow. It can be very high energy at the same time, too.
Are there costumes that – is it like a – so you said it tells a story. Is the individual dances tell a story or the show that you're – like how long is the show? Like you're a dance troupe.
Yeah.
How long – do you do like a whole performance or what's a dance troupe do?
So there's different ways to slice it, but I mean, when we performed, we'd do songs that were 2 to 3 minutes, and then we'd have like four sets of those,
okay.
And each one has its own costume, each one has its own story
okay.
It's telling. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, it's fascinating. You
yes.
should interview someone that's in college right now. There is this huge competition circuit for Bollywood dance troupes. And I was part of that scene when it just started.
Really?
It's like, think of Bring It On, you
yes.
know, but like for Indian dance troupes.
Okay.
Like seriously, people would, you would skip a final exam just so you could practice for like the regional or the national
yeah.
Bollywood dance competition. You're making your own costume. You're doing a 7-minute dance with 3 different songs within it and like 4 different costume changes and
yeah.
you're building props and doing all these acrobatic things. It's really cool.
This sounds like you're pitch perfect.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it
you
is.
You know the world. This is, I feel like.
Yeah.
This is you should do this as a movie.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
People ditch in class to go dance. That's great. That's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's definitely interesting. Like that stuff's like fascinating to me. That
yeah.
people things people will skip classes to go to. Like
yeah.
Pokemon Go. Is
yeah.
bananas. Like Aristotle here laughs because he's
are you serious?
He's into it. But it's like, I don't get it, but I get it.
It's like one of those things like, It's the biggest thing in the world. Right this second.
Right this second. Like, I don't get it, but I get it.
But I get it.
Yeah. I get. I like some bananas. I like some bananas things. So I get it. I get like in weird shit, but I don't get it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like, what about you? What are you obsessed
what
with?
What am I obsessed with? I like time travel. I like time travel movies. I'm big into that. I like game nights. I like board games. I like doing that. I love hiking.
Mm-hmm.
I also love hiking because I have too much time on my hands, so it gives me something to do.
I love hiking.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an interesting, I love views and I love nature, but I don't like being dirty. So I kind of, it's kind of like, it's not that I love nature. I just have too much time on my hands to go do this. What do I like dancing. Like I love like a good dance night. Like mm-hmm. I love like, give me some, you know, Hall & Oates or some Kenny Loggins. Give me some like 80s dance music and just some friends to just goof around and be silly. Because what is dancing other than...
What is dancing? Like, do you guys do Rockette dancing?
No. It's just, what is dance? I mean, even that is like... But even like you look at some of these like these famous dance groups and it's like they're all just doing the same thing. But when you if you took one of those persons and looked at what the person's doing, you'd be like, are they having a stroke? It's just 20 people having a stroke wearing the same costume.
Yeah. Totally.
That's what dancing is.
That's what dancing is.
Melanie, thank you so much for doing the show. Tell us CBS. It's on CBS Wednesdays at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
Where can everybody find you on the internet? Are you on social medias? Are you on all that? Or do you have anything coming out? Maybe any other smaller projects you want to plug while you're here as well?
Well, you can just find me on Twitter and Instagram at Melanie Chandra. And website is melaniekchandra.com because I have a story with that too.
Oh, yes. Tell that story.
So I transitioned from my maiden name to my married name once I got married. So my married name is Melanie Chandra.
Okay.
There is one other Melanie Chandra in the mainstream world that claimed that URL. She's not even Indian.
No. What is she?
Oh, gosh. She might listen. I don't know. She's okay. So
I hope. And listen, if I, it would make my day if she was a listener of the show.
Okay, she's she and her husband are both well-known authors.
Get out. Okay.
So her maiden name is Melanie Abrams. Melanie, okay. If you're listening, I respect your work.
Yeah.
So Melanie Abrams married a Vikram Chandra.
Okay.
So she is now Melanie Chandra. She owns that domain. She doesn't use it. It just reverts back to her. Melanie Abrams site. I contacted them several times. They will not give it to me.
No.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah. First world problems.
They're like, we just want to.
We just want it to reroute.
Yeah, so they're just rerouting.
Just keep hitting refresh, and eventually there's going to be a time where they forget to re-up their fee and repay for it. And then it's going to be up for grabs.
There's like a 3-month grace period, though, with that. If you claim it and they're like, never mind. I won't go into it.
I feel like I've lost some domains because I forgot to click pay, and it's been less than 3 months.
How many domains do you have?
I have a lot of domains. I buy a lot of domains. I think it's something because you can buy them for like $5. So I'll think of no
but
domains.
But then what do you do with them?
Just sit on them, have them reroute to my other one. Like I own this one. I own this one. I own Melanie J. Chandra. I've been waiting for some one of those girls to. No, I've owned a few. I'll think of ones, like if I think of something that it could be something or whatever, mm-hmm. I'll buy the domain just in case. Because it's, you know, sometimes there's fun, like, there was, I don't know, I'm trying to think of one, like I own Awesome and Then Some. Just, you know, think, you know, I used to own Nerdstalgia, which was, I was going to turn it into like a blog or a podcast or whatever where it's like nostalgic bullshit. But then that lapsed, I forgot to pay for that. Uh-huh. When I first started comedy, I would think of like fun names for tours, for stand-up tours, and I would buy a bunch of those. Like my favorite one is Save the Clock Tour, which is a playoff of Save the Clock Tower from Back to the Future because that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
this is stupid, but...
Second one, right?
He-Man and Skeletor. That's so stupid. But I like puns, too. That's the thing, too, is I'll just, you know... Because you can buy them for like $6 and... You keep them for a year, you keep them for 2 years, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have you made a profit?
No.
Okay.
No. No. That's why they'll lapse and they'll just disappear. But that Nerdstalgia one, the dude wanted to pay me like $40 for. So I could have made a profit there. But I didn't end up selling it. And the next thing I know, I forgot to re-up it. And it's, you know, now he owns it.
Now it's a
story.
But
he doesn't do anything with it. Yeah. It's a story.
It's a story.
It's like Melanie K.
Yeah. Ugh.
Melanie Abrams. What is she doing? What kind of, I don't know who that is.
She's a professor and an author. So. Hmm.
Not a
her and her husband probably
not
listen
a Melanie
to
Chandra.
No.
Give her that domain, Melanie. Come on, you're not using it. What's up, Melanie? Hashtag MelanieChandra.com. Get that going. Free. All Melanies. Melanie, thank you so much for doing
the
show.
Thank you.
It's been great. You've been great talking. Everybody watch the show on CBS Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Code Black. You can follow me on Twitter at MyNameIsRazzle2. Follow me on Instagram at MyNameIsRazzle. Follow the show on Twitter at TWL Podcast. Send us a fun fact or a bit of trivia or anything you like or not at todaywelearnedpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for continuing to listen to the show and give us some good reviews and all that. And, you know, we're almost at – I mean, we've approached the three-year mark, but not the actual three-year if you want to do the episode count. But that's coming up. So thank you guys for all of that stuff. And as always – you can just buy black belts. Thanks, everybody.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.